Wow. Good morning. Y'all out there, ain't you? Yeah, you're out there. Wow. Let's just worship him for a little bit. Just be personal. Thank him for loving you. I know we're corporate right now, but be a little personal. It's okay. It's not selfish. You have to become the best you if you're going to manifest Jesus in your life. Just thank him for loving you right now. I believe you love me. Thanks for giving me, forgiving me. Thank you for seeing me righteous in your sight. Listen, you could have come this morning and you don't feel that close to God. You feel like you might have missed something all day yesterday or the last 3 weeks haven't been that clean. Listen, if your heart cares about that, you're in a perfect spot right now. You just say, man, duh, what was I doing? Like, God, this is where I belong. This is home. This is home in your presence, in fellowship with you. I don't want to do anything anymore to violate my conscience. I want to walk close with you. I want to be in you. I'm going to believe truth from now on. I'm not going after the flesh and desires and things that don't edify. God, I'm here and I'm telling you I'm all in. I'm telling you, there's a grace here for us to just connect right now. I feel like there's a lot of people in this room, so I feel like there's people that are coming from all different places spiritually. Don't miss this moment. Be personal with him and then stay there. Stay there in Jesus' name. But it starts like this. Father, I believe you love me. You'd have never sent your son. Man, I believe you forgive me. I believe you have a plan for me. I don't believe you're frustrated with me. I don't believe you're about to give up on me. I believe you're ready to empower me as I'm willing. And I'm telling you, I'm willing. Man, I don't want to live for the flesh. I want to grow in the things of the Spirit. I want to walk out destiny. I want to live what you paid for. Teach me what you paid for. Increase my understanding. Burn in my heart a revelation. But God, I want to follow you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come in this house, I ask you to do what you want to do, say what you want to say. If Pastor Matt would have handed you a microphone, Lord, you know what you'd say to this room. Let it be the words that speak today. I have no need to preach. I say that publicly, but boy, I have things in my heart, and I am excited to be in this humbled position. Let every word be your voice, God. And empower your people to shine, to walk in love, and be so encouraged that that could never change. I'm believing he's gonna cross us across some lines today where you're not gonna relive the things you wish you did. I just believe that. That's not hype. I believe that. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Yeah, come on. Come on. Go ahead, grab your seats. Yeah, let's do this thing. Sunday morning, whoa. It's amazing. There's churches all over the place meeting on Sunday morning. There's a lot of churches in America. I've said this over and over, and I'm not being mean or sarcastic. You can fill every seat in every church on a Sunday. It doesn't mean the earth is going to change. But when we become love, it has to. Knowing about the Bible, knowing what the Bible says isn't what transforms a life. Knowing him transforms a life. There's 1,000+1 lies out there trying to keep you from knowing him, trying to keep you from getting close to him, where the only place you're semi-comfortable is in a corporate setting and you brush against God because the atmosphere is amazing. But when you're alone in a bedroom, it doesn't seem like that. Or when you're just in your house, it doesn't seem like that. I'm telling you, that's a lie. The enemy is trying to keep every Christian from knowing him in a very personal and very intimate way. And it's only through relationship with Jesus that your life's really going to change. You can only afford so much diligence, discipline. You only have so much capability and ability in the flesh to transform your own life, and it's very limited and far below what he created us for. Actually, I'm telling you straight, the supernatural, the Christian life is supernatural. Like, to walk out Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes is absolutely impossible in your flesh, but yet he calls you to it, and yet he tells you to live there. And in your own strength, you'll never fulfill Matthew 5, never. But in the Holy Ghost, it's beyond possible. Yeah, Come on. If you want to become love, if you want to forgive, if you want to show mercy and make peace and get alone and start telling God, listen, I've been fashioned wrong. I've been schooled wrong. I've been cross-wired and wrong-wired. I want brand new. I want your heart in me, and I thank you it's here, and I want to look through your eyes. When I see men, I want to see what you see. I'm done with first impressions and judgments and walking in a room and trying to figure it out. God, I want to see what's always been there in you. You're doing a work in me, and I thank you for it. See, that's the aggressive way I'm encouraging you to begin to pray in your life. Don't just pray your list and the things you need for your day to go better. Don't just pray the things that concern you or the people you care about. Commune with God. Talk to him. Take off the veil and actually believe he loves you, that he's in the room, whether it feels like it or not, and start declaring these things over your life. Amen? I promise you, it's amazing. I've learned this in my life, that there's a whole lot of people that don't want to become love. They hold on to the rights that the fall of man gave them. And they say, yeah, but you're telling me if, and when you're preaching on love, they're already painting pictures of things that qualify for them to not love. But you're telling me I'm supposed to just put up with somebody if they're just, well, wonder if God took the attitude you're trying to hold on to and took that towards you. See, this is how you know when the thinking isn't clear. If you can't put your thoughts in God and make it work, it isn't him. If you can't put your attitude in the mouth of the Lord and make it speak to where you can hear it from the Lord, it's not him. Here's what I'm convincing you today. You don't need a justification to stay the same. We have every reason for change. And he is loving, and he's amazing. And that's not passive, and that's not weak. Like, his love is not passive and weak. He's not a pushover. He's incredible. He's incredible. The Bible talks about gentle and loving kindness and mercy. And we men growing up, we thought that wasn't macho. We thought that wasn't the way to be cool. We're not trying to be cool. We want to be like him. So if the world says you have to swear every other word to be cool, that's probably not cool. If the word says you got to be mean and tell somebody off and not turn the other cheek, we're probably missing God. But most of us grew up with that mentality. You do me wrong, I'll get you back somehow. I'll make you pay. You know, that vengeance thing that we all grew up with, that anger thing that we all grew up with. Guys, it is so perverse. I'm making a loud statement today. I'm challenging you, the things that haven't produced life in you, make sure you stop believing they're normal. If they've allowed you to be discouraged, if the way you're thinking allowed you to be angry, if it allows you to justify offense and hold on to it, man, let's stop calling it normal. Let's just stop saying, well, everybody's doing it. Jesus isn't doing it. We're not following everybody. The road to destruction is broad, man. It's broad. It's really, really wide. We're not following the masses. We're following him. He said that road is narrow, it's confined, difficult is the way, and few are those who actually travel thereby. He didn't say few are those who go to church. He said few are those who actually walk that road I paid for. Come on, I'm not mad at you. I'm glad you're here. But let me tell you why we're here. We're here to stir up in love and good works. We're here to stay focused and get real and have a reality check and make sure we're not subdued by religion and that we're not in a form of thing without becoming the thing. See, because if you let church attendance take the place of knowing him, you'll never walk like he walked. You'll never love like he loved. You'll hurt like you always hurt, but you'll sing the songs that we sang today. Are you with me? Look, I'm not mad at nobody. Man, I'm just telling you, there's churches meeting all over the earth today. It's Sunday, man. It's church day. We don't go to church because it's Sunday and it's when we meet at City Center. We go to church because we're fine-tuning and sharpening and we're a part of something and our arms are locked and there's an army rising up and we don't compromise and there's a world out there that needs light, needs love, not frustration and complaining. That's why we're here. So if I'm too intense, you're in the wrong place, I guess. I'm not too intense. This thing cost him his life so that he could put his life in us so I could let my light so shine. The goal isn't to get in an atmosphere where I feel like he is. He's in me. He's in me. If the closest experience I have is worship service, I'm missing communion with God. If I love this church because the worship is amazing and I feel the Lord, you could have felt him when you woke up. Now, I appreciate the worship. I love corporate. But see, if we were all living this way, what do you think worship could look like? What do you think our corporate setting would be if we're just all walking in love, living by the Spirit, and then we synergistically come together and he's already amazing in our heart? And then we ain't doing the old traditional, I know you carried your stuff in here. I know life's been hard this week. I know people treated you wrong. We just need to peel that off right now. Why do you put it on? You should never have any of that on. We're always coming up with reasons why our heart's got to be broken, and he heals the brokenhearted. Why don't we teach people why they don't have to have a broken heart? Here's why our hearts are broken. Because we need one another for identity. We need one another for acceptance. We need one another for value. We put our trust in men because we're getting what we need from men, and it doesn't work and it fails us, and our hearts are broken. Psychology might tell you that's all the way it is. The gospel says that's never the way it is. You never put your trust in flesh. You don't need anybody to find out who you are. You can only find yourself through Jesus. You were made through Jesus. Nothing was ever made that wasn't made through him. You can't find the truth about you apart from him. The most you can find is temporal security. You can find a safe haven. You can find temporal rest for your soul because you're in a place that feels safe. But you'll never be free, because if that changes, you change. So we live for that safe haven, and for most people, it's a pipe dream. We never find it, so our heart gets hurt, heart gets hard. We act like we don't care, but we do care. We put up superficial walls. We only let certain people so close because we've been burned before. Just imagine the walls Jesus would have had to have if he felt burned. Jericho wouldn't have held a light to the walls Jesus had to have. And there wouldn't have been no shout bringing them walls down. Come on, why am I talking so intense like this? Because guys, we're celebrating Jesus. We're worshiping him, right? Aren't we worshiping Jesus? Isn't he worthy? Like, aren't we excited that he forgave us of sin and died on the cross, right? So watch this. So if that's all true, and he's worthy of our praise and worthy of our worship, he's worthy of our lives. He's worthy of us worshiping him with our lives. He's worthy of our attitudes. He's worthy of our perspectives. He's worthy of our motives. He's worthy. And the only way you truly follow him, man, you don't follow him just because you're praying for the sick. You follow him because you're walking in love, because you're not taking account of suffered wrongs. You're not heaping up a checklist against people. You're not praying for another job because you're mad at the one you work at. You're not praying for another job because you can't stand your boss and he's mistreating you and you're ready to get an attorney. Come on, I'm talking straight. No, you're on that job to shine. You're on that job to show mercy, to love, to make peace. I worked 2 secular jobs since I was saved. It's the easiest thing for me in the world. I actually stepped out of pastoring for a while because I didn't understand some church stuff when I was green and young and pastoring. Church felt like a business. There was things that were violating my heart. And it was just easy to be in darkness. I enjoy it. I don't mind when they're cursing, swearing, and they say they're atheists, because Jesus is in me. I have a bigger confidence than their unbelief. And I don't go to work for me. I don't go to work for them to treat me right. I wake up to shine. Nobody owes me a thing. You're not going to rub me wrong. There's nothing to rub wrong. You don't owe me a thing. I didn't wake up to expect anything out of you today. I didn't even expect a good response when I preach. I didn't. I'm just humbled I'm here. I'm honored. And I got two seat bags on me in the spirit. And I'm just throwing them like crazy. I left pastoring to go into a warehouse because I was struggling with the idea of ministry and what it was. It seemed like a title. Before that, I was just a warehouse worker in love with Jesus. And because God was doing things through my life, everybody figured I'm a leader or a fivefold or a pastor. And I told them no. They asked me three times to pastor at my church and come on staff. They were so kind to me, Pastor Matt. They said, we aren't asking you to sacrifice. We will pay you what you're paid. Bring your check stubs in. We will pay you what you're paid, and we will cover your benefits. And you don't have to lose one thing financially making this transition. And I never went to Bible school, and I never pastored in my life, and I'm zero administrative. And they're gonna pay me to come in the office what I'm making, 15-year Teamsters Union. Associate pastor making twice as much as most senior pastors in our city. Why'd they do that? Because they saw Jesus in me. It wasn't my training. It had nothing to do with seminary or Bible school. It had to do with my relationship, my prayer life, my communion, hours with the door shut and the clocks turned so I wasn't distracted. Communing with him, believing he's in the room, exchanging with him and giving me and taking him and putting off and putting on and getting rid of anger and frustration and pride and competitiveness and insecurity and the need to be putting it off when nobody's looking. Kneeling and crying when you weren't there. Thanking him that who he is in me because he wants to be. And when I leave this room today, I will see men through your eyes. And when men see my life, they'll see who you are. God, what an honor to carry you. What an honor to manifest you. What an honor to be loved by you. But even more than that, to love like you love. Thank you today. There isn't a man on the earth that owes me a thing. I owe no man anything but to love. Thank you for your life that's in me. That's my prayer life when you're not looking. And you get up off your knees and you go to work, and I promise you ain't who said what and he said she said, and I can't believe there. Well, that ain't fair. Well, why'd you give me that order? Well, I shouldn't have to do that. Why don't they have to do? And then you call your church, pray for me, I need another job, preferably a Christian atmosphere. That was the number one prayer request I always got as a pastor. Pray for me to get a new job. I would love to have a Christian atmosphere. Like you, Pastor. Like you. In fact, you're paid to do what you do. People just don't understand. It's like a Christian atmosphere. One of the reasons I left to go into the warehouse, because it was so real. When I was a pastor, everything was Christian. Everything around me, the backslidden people said amen because they were in the building. The people that I counseled that were working through trouble, I mean, they were playing the part. And they're still beating each other up on the way home. But they, holy, holy. Why we gotta eat there? Why are we gonna eat where you wanted to last week? When do I ever get to eat where I want to eat? How come you always get to do what you want to do? You're so controlling. I'm so sick of you. That stuff happens in cars on the way home from church. And it reveals that we don't understand, that we've been seduced by religion. That we think where we go is who we are. I left my pastor thing to go into a dark warehouse, man. I promise you, they did not know the Lord. It was the most sinful environment I had ever been in my life. There was a weird, twisted sexual thing going on there. There was a lot of stuff going on there. And Jesus put me right in the middle of that, and I was happy. I was really, really happy. Why? Because nobody owes me anything. This thing isn't about me. I denied myself, remember? Hopefully we all did that. Did we all do that, or did we just pray to go to heaven? Or did we deny ourselves, pick up our cross to follow? See, how can you complain if it's not about you? Since when has human preference become Lord? I'm not saying that I invoke them to curse at me or call me names or persecute. When I worked there, they drew bulletin board pictures and made me on the picture, put cartoons up and would mock me on the bulletin board the whole time. My coworkers would mock me over the intercom and on the board. What are they mocking? How are they hurting me? I woke up in the presence of the Lord. His peace is in my life. I mean, I'm going through the mall and I hear a word of knowledge. I mean, I touch a man and he gets touched by God. You're persecuting me? What are you persecuting? I know him. You're making fun of what you don't even understand. You're bound in your own ignorance. Men mock and scoff what they don't understand. If you don't understand, you probably shouldn't say much. See, the reason Christians have trouble with persecution and when people make fun of them, because they don't know him like they can. So they do him, but don't know him. So then the security of knowing him doesn't blanket their life, so they don't have the confidence of relationship. So persecution has a voice. Is that okay? Listen, man, we're called to be solid and like going after him and relational. I taught myself early on in the Holy Ghost, he would give me these little impressions. I would go in my bedroom when I first got saved. I don't do it anymore, but I did it in the beginning. And it was a fun little tool, contact point of faith. I'd close my bedroom door, which was never normal. I'd always leave it open. But when I got saved, I started closing it because obviously I'd have to open it to go in. Why does that matter? I'd sneak up there and I'd open it and I'd go, hey, it's me. I'd close it. It's just what I'd do, like a little child, and I'd say, hey, it's just us. And I'd go like this. And in days, it got so real to me, the presence of the Lord would just envelop me. And my heart would know him. It's not that it was always feely and fuzzy and bzzz. I would just know that I know that I know he's right here. Do you know how many people have never just exchanged like that with God that are sincere, need the cross, believe the cross, and love Jesus the best. They know Jesus. I'm not talking to hypocrites this morning. I'm talking to his kids. Do you know how many people are sincere about the cross and about their church service and about where they go, but they've never just exchanged, been confident to just spend time and believe and turn off the distractions and just be with him? Your life will never transform without being with him. You can read 1,000 books. You can read your Bible every day. Your devotional can become religious and take the place of knowing him. You can do a daily devotion faithfully for 20 years and never communicate and contact the Lord. Never exchange from the heart with him. You just read it and your heart gets warm because of the content and never actually, wow, the way you see me is amazing. God, I'm so strengthened and empowered by you. Holy Spirit, it's so amazing that you're in my life, that you want to live in me. Man, I appreciate you. I'm excited about today. Thanks for your unstoppable love. I've talked to countless Christians that were honest and told me they never initiated communication with the Lord, proclaiming that he loved them. They never even thought about it because it felt weird. You'd be amazed how much conviction's in this room right now and how many people would say, yeah, I get that. I don't want you to get that. I'm not correcting you. I'm not spanking you. I'm saying, man, get in a room and lift your hands and believe he's there. And believe he loves you. Seriously, turn off your iPad, your phone, your computer. Just shut it all down for a second. Facebook will be there when you come back. Just turn it off. Turn it off. No, unfortunately, it'll be there. I'm just sorry, man. I'm a little bit on a tangent. That stuff rules people's lives because they need content. They need static. They need background noise. Just always have to have something playing. So why don't you harness all that and go this way? I would close the door and say, I'm here. It's just us. So like a child, you'd look at me and think, man, that's weird, man. Listen, I'm in a really good place. He's either not there and I'm loco and I should just get a hobby. Or he is there. And it's where I'm going to get to know him. Come on, if you're married in here, and I know there's some crazy stuff today where people get married over the internet probably and do their ceremony maybe on Zoom. I'm not sure. There's a lot of impersonal stuff out there. I mean, you feel important because you got 1,000 contacts and you ain't never met nobody. And you ain't never looked into their eyes. And you call them friends. It's just a weird world we live in. It's like you have contact with the world and you're isolated the whole time. But it meets the need of survival. Yeah, I'm unfortunately talking about it. When you get married, you got to know each other. You got to communicate. You settled in your heart, this is the one. I'm willing to, yeah. Hey, will you? I do. Wow, will you marry me? Whoa, yeah. All that good stuff. It's not because you didn't communicate and fellowship and hang out. You would have never got to know him to the point of marriage if you didn't spend time. You don't just get to know Jesus because you're reading your Bible literally and reading scripture. You get to know him because you're realizing that scripture is him and it's how he sees you and it's who you are. And you make that personal through communion and prayer. Are you with me? There's nothing surpasses knowing him. Like seeing the sick healed is phenomenal. That dear lady, I seen her face out there that came down here and testified. There she is. Yeah, hey, that was a beautiful thing she talked about last night. Who knows, that's amazing. It makes people cry. You're like, oh, yes. And as powerful and awesome as that is, it doesn't compare to the right you have to be in his presence and be with him. Like nothing compares to being with him. That's where you find you. That's where you're secure and complete. That's where self-consciousness dies. That's where the need to be appreciated vanquishes. That's where everything you do is out of love and you don't ever need a thank you. That way, if somebody says thank you, it's okay. Because you ain't looking for it. If you need it, it's unhealthy when they say it. Because they're keeping that thing alive. They're stroking it. It's like an addiction. So now you're doing double service to get an extra thank you. So it's not even about loving people and serving. It's about getting appreciated. So if they don't appreciate you, now you're hurt and they don't appreciate it and all the time I gave and I worked harder than anybody and they never even said thank you. This church is unloving and I'm going down the road to the other church. Please don't do that. And if you do that, don't get in ministry because now you have 2 churches on your checklist. Then you'll have 4. And next thing you know, you don't even go to church. You just meet in a basement with 4 hurting people. I've watched countless people get hurt in church. You know what it tells me? It's not that the church was unloving. It's that they're doing what they're doing for recognition. Watch this. Even if the church messed up, where do we just stand up and love? If you come here to be loved, you might get hurt. If you come here to love, you'll never get hurt. It's the truth. I know it feels a little different this morning to me for some reason. I don't know. This stuff's just, I'm just shooting stuff out. Are you guys okay? You're not like feeling all beat up and battered, I hope. I've seen too much hurt in the church. I've been a Christian 26 years. There's every bit as much hurt in the church as there is outside the church. But we're supposed to be born again. So what do we got? I don't think we understand. I think some of us in a good heart came into this thing to go to heaven for what God could do for us. We had good intentions, but I don't think we understand that he wants a whole change of motive in your life, a whole transformation of nature. He wants you to wake up and know in your heart that nobody owes you a thing, that you're secure in him, you found yourself in him, and you finally understand love. That even your own spouse isn't under the pressure of pleasing you. Wouldn't that be amazing in a marriage if legitimately 2 people would wake up and know in their heart their spouse doesn't determine their demeanor, disposition, or day, and there's zero expectation on them because they love them. And one of the spouses have a weak moment or a fallout or go through a tough day or let something get to them and they bring it home. And the other spouse doesn't take it to heart and take it personal. And why are you dumping that on me? I ain't the one that, how come you bring this stuff to me? And then you come home and now I got to live with that. Where's Jesus? Why are we saved? For blessing, provision, protection, to go to heaven? That's what most Christians will tell you. Because that's 99% of the messages are beneficial. And that's why there's a lot of discouraged Christians, because the message ain't happening in their life. I don't even know if it's 1% of the message or transformational. It's always beneficial. What it'll do for you, bringing you a breakthrough, getting you out of your grave, changing your circumstance, and everybody's fired up. And that thing hits them with joy, and they leave with joy, and then the heat of the day comes, and it withers so quick. So quick. Ain't that the way it happens? So I'll just never, so you get mad at me, I'm not trying to make you mad, but I'm not going to ever stand before God and be guilty of not telling you these things. I'm telling you these things because we can live these things, and he paid for them, and you qualify. Everybody in this room can love. You can live in the nastiest house on the planet, and everybody set their heart to hate, and you can love. I'm not saying it don't have challenges, but if you know who you are, you won't let it hurt you. You'll walk through it. You'll love them. You'll cry for the right reasons. How many times do we just cry because of people? Why isn't it easier to cry for people? Aren't you glad Jesus wasn't hanging on that cross? God, I'm not even sure what we're doing at this point, man. These people are jacked up. That love I always felt for them before the foundation of the world, oh, they did something to that thing. I think I'm messing up right now. Look what I let them do to my face, my body. I healed their sick, cast out their devils. I cleansed their lepers, and they're going to mark me like this and curse me and spit on me. That wasn't him, was it? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. What's he saying? People have no idea who they are, and they have no idea what they're created for and who they can be in me. The only reason they're doing this to me, they don't have a clue. Forgive them. Have mercy on them. Jesus impresses me. Well, see, here's the problem with me. The night I got saved, it had nothing to do with heaven. I didn't even think about heaven. It had to do with not being the man I was anymore. And not living one more day with the wretchedness that I saw in my heart. And living that zero life I was living, trying to act okay on the outside, totally dead on the inside, angry and self-centered, didn't even like me, needed you to like me to believe I was likable. Pushing for attention, trying to get a laugh in the room. Putting somebody down because I felt bad about myself. So if I got to make them look lower, maybe I was better. Don't tell me this stuff ain't happening in people's lives. And when I saw that, I cried and cried and said, my life is zero and pitiful and bankrupt. And I said, and I don't even know you. But if you're real and you love me and you can forgive me and got a plan for my life, I'll live for you. Nothing to do with going to heaven. Now, who knows, he put my name in the book of life right then. Who knows, I ain't never gonna die. Oh! You know, I was in the town, and some people get mad about what you preach. Christians get the worst. When a Christian don't agree with you, when an unbeliever don't agree with you, they're just like, wow, whatever, man. If that works for you. But they're like, they think they're God's assessment crew, anointed, God's watchdog. And they believe they got the absolute dibs on absolute truth, and anybody that don't agree is going to hell. Christians get really mad when they don't agree with your theology. And I was in a city doing a big, it's a couple hundred pastors conference. They asked me to preach to these pastors. I ain't never been to Bible school in my life. And it's humbling. It's funny. And I'm pouring out my heart and they're bawling and convicted. And some of them are wondering if they're saved because I let it rip. I had pastors, they're leaders. I want them so marked by God. Because what they see has a lot to do with what they influence. So my hair's white. I'm not the sharpest man on the planet, but my hair is white. So I got some folks that don't want me there so bad that they're threatening if I come. So after my service, I got undercover policemen sitting around me. And I'm like, what? I said, this don't look right. This looks like something you see in a movie. I think. Guy leaned over. He said, hey, Dan, I'm Officer so-and-so. I said, I thought that. Yeah, them, they're all with me. It's four of them. I said, what's this all about? I'm thinking, I know, I understand. I'm not against security and stuff, but I don't need four policemen to shadow me in a service. Keep people away. You know, pastoring would be great if it wasn't for the people. God, forgive us. Who took notice that I like people? Who saw that I don't run out and I hang? And I stayed with these guys. Thanks for letting me stay. Man, me and Jesus, we'd have just been somewhere in a hotel room. I'd have had to go find somebody to love. Watch the clerk cry at the counter, which I've seen more times than I can remember. But I was in this town, and he said, well, there's been some threats against you and pertaining to your life, and we're very concerned for your well-being. I said, are you serious? My life? He said, yes, sir. And we're taking it serious, and we have these men. We're going to shadow you and get you to your room, and we're going to make sure you're good till you're out of town. And I said, oh, my goodness, sir, are you kidding me? He said, no. I said, listen. See, because you don't know how you respond until you're in the situation. So you see how I am right now? That's exactly how I was when he told me. So I'm like, listen, man, I can find you in Romans 9, like our chapter of Romans. I don't know. It might be 9. I said, I can find you in Romans. I can see that you're in the Bible, officers. I appreciate you. And there's a place for you in society, and I respect you. But I said, right now, sir, you're out of the boundary of where this isn't yours. I said, this is spiritual. It's intimidation. And if you don't face it, you'll run from it the rest of your life. I said, so here's what we're going to do. We're just going to let it play out. If they say they're going to kill me, we'll see if they can. I'm not thinking it's going to go that way. I got too much in my heart. I'm thinking God's way bigger than their threats. Well, sir, I strongly disagree. Officer, I respect you and love you. I'm not even asking for your agreement. Please, disarrange this. I don't want anybody follow me. Let's live like this threat never happened. And let's walk this out and let the Holy Ghost take care of it. It felt good to feel that way. To not be afraid and be sentimental and wonder if something happens to me. What about my wife? And that's what everybody's thinking. They say, brother, you got to use wisdom. Whose wisdom? Your fear or the truth? What wisdom are we talking about here? Your fear or his word? Your apprehension, your preservation, self-preservation, even though you love not your own life unto death and denied yourself. So I walked through it. Never had a threat like that again since. You can see I made it through. I got bit by a pit bull dog on that same trip. Man, did he bite me. Oh, that dog got me good. I was jogging. I was on a roll. I'm going down this street and he come off the porch. He's coming hard. I laughed. I said, hey, buddy. I'm thinking all bark, no bite. I thought, dude, you're a shock collar dog, man. You're going to get 2 feet from the curb. So I'm just trotting by him with confidence. Hey, little buddy, hey. Whap! He had me. Wham! He drove his teeth into my leg. Pitbull. Pulled his teeth out and waddled back to the porch. I looked down at that street, and that quick, my whole side of my leg and sneaker is blood, and it's going onto the road. I look back, and I got a hole that I could stick my pinky in a main vein or something, whatever you got here, something that tells you you're gonna die if it gets cut. It's pouring. I've never seen blood come out of a human body like that in my life. And I went, oh, Jesus. I looked up and the lady came out and she said, did he bite you? Watch, you can't do this on purpose. You see how I am right now? It's how I was the whole time. That's impossible. I can't teach that. You can't train for that. But you can be with him. And you can love not your own life unto death with him. So when things come against you, you don't know what that means. Because it ain't coming against you. You're living for the kingdom. You're seeking first the kingdom. You want to manifest the kingdom. And in every situation, it's all about the kingdom. So you're consumed and possessed with the kingdom. Because before the kingdom, yourself possessed you. The devil possessed some of us. Addiction possessed us. Lies possessed us. Lust possessed us. So if I'm going to be possessed, it's going to be for the kingdom. So that when that dog bites me, I don't know how to be anything but what Jesus would be. So I looked at her and I smiled and I said, yeah, he did, honey, but it's okay. Everything's fine. You'll understand in a minute. I'll explain. Could you grab me a towel? And I started to walk towards the house. And she just ran in. And I got up there and the husband came out. And he doesn't even know what to do. What's going through his mind? Liabilities. Dogs are going to be dead yet today. Man's going to sue us. We got to pay all his bills. He might get infected and die. His mind's spinning. I looked at him, I said, sir, you don't have to say anything, it's okay. Everything's fine, I promise you. I said, listen, if it's possible, your dog bit the right person.
Hallelujah.
And I said it with the biggest, gentlest smile. If it's possible, your dog bit the right person. And I'll explain everything in a minute, because Jesus, sir, he's my king. Lady came out with a towel, she's shaking. I said, honey, relax. It's okay. I just explained to your husband. Listen, Jesus is my king. He makes everything good. He's incredible. I got blood pouring out of me the whole time. I'm not even thinking about that. I'm not even thinking it's possible to bleed to death. It never crossed my mind. Never crossed my mind. Why? I surrendered so long ago in prayer. I don't love my own life unto death. It's not about dying. I'm never going to die. It's the only way I can teach it. It's supernatural. You can't try this. You can't listen to this sermon and then try to be okay. You're a day late. You can't get bit by the dog and then say, okay, what did Pastor say? What did Pastor say? You got to be with him now. Yeah? I took the towel from her. This is the same weekend they wanted to take me out. I wiped up over all this blood with the towel and I went over the hole and I saw the big hole. Totally impossible. I was one wipe of a towel. I went over the hole and my flesh got kind of clean and I wiped it clean and no more blood come out of the hole. But there's a hole, but no more blood, none. And I laughed and I said, you see my Jesus? I laughed, I said, that's my Jesus. And then I started wiping with this other towel. No more blood. I got his canines in my leg, tattooed. Bam. One's pretty bad. The other one's deep in that main vein or whatever. Serious hole. I said, now listen, I need to talk to you guys. I said, because today's a day of mercy for you. And they're looking at me. I said, listen, I could have been a child, an elderly person, or somebody that doesn't have the heart I have. And now you see the potential of your dog. I said, guys, you can't let... They said, well, he's never out. I just stop. He was out. So stop. If you're gonna have a dog like this, for whatever reason you want him, you have to be sure he's never out again and this can never happen again. Today's a day of mercy for you. Because you'll never hear about this. You'll never hear from me again. She said, well, shouldn't we take you to the hospital? I said, honey, I already told you about Jesus. Everything's fine. I got 2 more miles to run. I said, and I got something I got to do tonight and I got to get moving. But I love you too. Please learn the lesson today. And Father, right now, would you? And I stood there and blessed them and prayed over them. And they're looking at me like. And I just took off down the road. So I got back to the hotel where the little clerk got wrecked when I left and cried because I heard a word and her childhood and insecurity and bam, pow, whoosh, yeah, this is so good. So she's at the desk and she loves me now. I'm like a grandpa to her. She loves me. She's hoping I come back to town all the time. She's like, I'm going to miss you. Thank you. Oh, you feel like my grandpa. And I come in and she sees my sock all red and my sneaker all bloody. She just happened to look down and see it. She said, because, well, it was pretty two-toned. White and red. She's like, is that blood? I said, yeah. I said, it's okay. She said, what happened? I said, well, I got bit by a dog. I said, crazy dog, man. He just come running off. I guess I got territorial. I thought he was a shock collar dog, but he ain't no shock collar dog. I said, he bit me. And I said, and he just waddled back up on the porch. And I said, but everything's good. She said, are you going to the hospital? I said, well, no, I'm fine. Everything's fine. She said, oh, no. It's amazing. First person I run into has a traumatic dog bite story. Oh, no, sir, you gotta, look, I care about you. You're such a nice man. My mom got bit by a dog, and she didn't do nothing. And she swelled up in pain, and she throbbed for 3 days. She wished she could have died. She wanted to cut off her hand. And I'm like, honey, stop. Remember when I left Jesus? Remember Jesus? Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, look at me. Everything's good. Oh, that's what a church says, brother. I disagree. You need to use wisdom. God put doctors on the... I'm not against doctors. I've never preached against doctors in my life. I'm not against doctors. Go to a doctor. Make sure you have faith. Go to a doctor. I'm not even thinking doctor in that. I'm okay. Leave me alone if I'm okay. Don't tell me all these crazy stories in Sunday school as a kid growing up. And then when I need faith, talk me out of it. Because now I'm old enough to know better. You want to tell me that a boy killed a giant with a sling? That a whale held a man in his belly for days, coughed him up, and he was fine? That they shouted and walls fell to the ground? You want to tell me all these stories and try to teach me faith when I'm little, and then when I'm old enough to need faith, you're going to try to tell me to use wisdom? This precious black man, I love this guy. He pops around the corner. He's the maintenance fella. We hugged, we laughed, he was my buddy. He turned the corner, he's real Southern. I'm not mocking him, just understand I loved him. I grew up in the city. I just laughed at this man. He turned around, he said, hey man, you got bit by a dog? That's just how he talked. You got bit by a dog? I said, I did, sir. He said, whoa, man, you need to listen to the girl, man. You need to go to the hospital because I got bit by a dog. I said, 2 people and they both got dog bite stories. So he's being charismatic. He sounds like he'd be good in church, right? He says, no, I got bit by a dog, man. He's talking fast and he's got Southern in him. And I'm like, he's so serious, he's trying to help me, right? And he said, I said, I'm good, man. He said, well, what'd you do about the dog? Well, what about the dog? They coming to get the dog? Like, what'd you do with the people? Like, what? I said, listen, man, I just told them today's a day of mercy. They need to do a better job keeping that dog in the house. Don't ever let this happen again. Your dog bit the right person because I love you and I prayed for him. And I ran down the road and did my 2 miles. And he said, what? Watch what he said. No, he said, you for real, man. You for real. He said, you for real. Yeah, man, you for real. And I said, you know what? I said, people blame that on me a lot. They say I'm for real. And I said, I don't know what else there is. I guess there's half in, half out, lukewarm, insincere, hypocrisy. I think all there is real. But I said, one of the greatest testimonies I always seem to get from people is, you know what I like about you? You're real. And I'm like, well, what are you? What are you? What are the rest of us? What do you mean? It's a sad day when the testimony I received from the church is, you know what I like about you? You're for real. Because nobody else is. We're just kind of doing this thing. I laughed. I said, you better believe I'm for real, man. I said, come here. I love you so much. I said, you'd be good at church, man. I said, yeah. So I talked to him and I told him I'm fine. I said, listen, a man's coming to pick me up. I said, I got an appointment with him. He had a radio station. I don't do that stuff too much. I don't do any TV media. I stay away from all that stuff. I just have certain convictions. I'm not against it. I just stay away from it. It has a weird reverb to it. And I lay as low as I can, and somehow I haven't been able to lay low. So this guy's coming, he wants me to do an interview, radio interview, and I told him I would do it. It's a half hour. He contacted me for I don't know how long and said, you got to do another one. It was the most views we ever had. People want to play it again. I played it 4 times, and there's more views now than there was. I'm like, stop. I go up my room. I said, he's coming. I got to go get a shower quick. I took a shower. I just wore jeans. I just had jeans on. I put on my jeans. And you know what I said? I said, you know what? You got this. So got this. I ain't rapping it or nothing. I just put my jeans on. I just went to service. I got a hole that I literally, honestly, could stick my pinky in. And the other one was kind of serious, but not that bad. This is true as I'm standing here. You don't have to believe me. I would understand it. There's actually a lot of unbelief in the church, but when I got back from service to the hotel room and got undressed to get in my comfies, the one hole was completely closed. The other hole was almost closed. In the morning, it was a red spot. In the morning. It's called covenant. It's called all that is mine is yours and all that is yours is mine. It's called love not your own life unto death. It's called seek not your own, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Look, if I'd have took it personal, if I'd have got mad at them people, if I'd have called whatever and got the dog put down, if I'd have held them accountable and made them pay me for suffering, I might have got infected. I might have needed stitches. I might have had a throbbing leg in the morning. But when you seek first the kingdom and you walk in love and you cover everything, a multitude of everything in love, you're walking in a grace that's hard to describe. You can hardly teach it, and people can hardly relate to it because we've been self-centered. I'm not spanking you. I'm cheering you on. I'm saying, why don't we all just go after this thing? Why don't we all just learn what it means to love each other and not believe we're being passive over a doormat? Cut me a break. Was Jesus a doormat? People say, well, brother, I ain't letting nobody walk over me. Nobody walked over Jesus. He did what he did willingly to show us what love looked like. He's amazing. He's the living epistle of love. He's so powerful hanging on that cross, standing in front of Pilate. So impressive. He's the one that was and is to come, King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's standing there like a beaten man and won't say a word. Why? So you can get filled with his spirit one day. Not so you can complain, not so you can stand for your own rights, not so you can have issues and get mad at God because you didn't get the promotion. So now you ain't praying for a while. I hope we're okay today. This is a different kind of service for me. I'm not even sure what's going on. Are you okay? Here's what I do know. That family that owned that dog, I ain't seen him since. But I know that had to touch him. I know that had to affect him. I don't know how you escape that kind of stuff. I don't think you just put that on the back burner. Something I saw years and years ago. I just shared it last week at my buddy's church. And here's where I learned this stuff. Guess who I learned it from?
Jesus.
It's his fault. If you don't agree with me, write him an email. It's his fault. Because here's what I saw Jesus do. I saw Jesus getting arrested. I saw Jesus getting arrested for doing nothing wrong and everything right. I saw him coming with clubs and swords, and they're coming to get him and take him, and it ain't good. They're going to bind him up. They're going to spit on him. They're going to pull out his beard. They're going to mock him. They're going to beat him, and he done nothing wrong. And his men are around him. He's crying out for humanity, and he's finding the strength to walk through this thing. And they come to get him, and Peter jumps in the way, and he swings the sword, and what's he do? Cuts off the ear of Malchus. Don't think he was trying to trim his ear. Guys, he's not like giving him a warning strike. Stay back. No, he's swinging for the throat. He's swinging for the kill. He's trying to protect Jesus. The dude must have ducked. Swoop, ear. What's Jesus do? Does he walk over to Malchus and say, "Well, son, guess the man reaps what he sows. You on the wrong side of the fence, pal." Bad company corrupts good values and morals. It's going to be in the book of Romans when I finally write the word. I would think you'd learn from this man. Probably ought to jump fence here, huh? He never said a word to Malchus. Guess what he said? Peter. Huh? This is my translation. What? Peter. Put away your sword. Look, if you live by the sword, you'll die. What's he saying? Peter, you've been with me all this time, and you're still like them? You've been with me all this time, and you're still living like them. You're still... And if you live that way, you'll die that way. While he's doing that, guess what he's doing? He fixes Malchus's ear. Now, I know there's debate. Did he put the ear that got cut off on? Did he grow a new one? I don't care. I don't care at all. Here's what I care about. He fixed him and never said a word to him. Peter, put away your sword. What? Peter and Malchus, put yourself in his shoes. This is real. It's not a movie script. This happened. He's going. He's freaked out. He's got to be freaked out. What do you do if you're Malchus? How do you escape that? They're tying Jesus up and taking him down the road and whacking him and throwing. And Malchus is like, he's got to have blood all over him. Like, dude, what happened? Are you okay? Was there a fight? He gets back to town. Don't think people were like, what's going on? He's got to have blood all over him. Guys, when we're shaving and the razor just nicks you on the edge of the nose, you can fill a Red Cross bag. It's like... Somebody dings their head in a car wreck and it's this big cobweb. It looks like they're dying and it's a nick. You cut up around cartilages or you cut a piece of ear off. But there ain't nothing wrong with his ear. Try to explain that. What happened to you? How come you're all bloody? One of his guys cut my ear off. No, no kidding. What do you mean cut your ear off? You're your spine. Well, I know. The guy we're beating? He fixed it. What do you mean? He just went like that. He fixed it. What? That's Jesus evangelism. That's what it means. He said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Give to those who spitefully use you. He didn't say, file a complaint. Get an attorney. File a lawsuit. Stand for what's yours. Picket. Protest. He didn't say it. those who and give to those. Why would I do that? So you may be sons of your Father in heaven, who causes the rain and the sun to come upon the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love only those who love you, what credit is it to you? People that don't even know God, do as much. Scripture. So here's Jesus. He's such a cool leader, an example, and role model, and Lord, that he didn't just preach at us. He shows us what it looks like. What it looks like to love what seems to be your enemy, because your war's not flesh and blood. And he heals a young man named Malchus, and he rebukes his disciple for being like them, and he goes and dies on the cross. What do you think happened to Malchus when he heard the gospel? What do you think Malchus did when he heard Jesus raised from the dead? I can't prove this, but I'm sure of this. We'll see him in everlasting life, because you can't escape that kind of love. And he said, as I am, so you be. And the things I do, you'll do if you believe. So what's my goal this morning? To stir your believer. To get you out of you and into him, and throw away the right to be anything that doesn't look like him, sound like him, or love like him. That's my goal this morning. And I'm out of time, and I hopefully did my goal. You getting something? Hey, that impresses me. Men a dime a dozen, men a dime a dozen. Are just going to have issues with Malchus and agree with Peter. But who's willing to put the ear back on and say, hey, let's stop living like the world when we're of Christ. And let's walk in the light as he's in the light. We're in the world, but we are not of it. So let's come out from among them and be ye separate. Let's not get caught up in the attitude of the world, mind of the world. It says, if you have the world in you and the love of the world in you and the things of the world in you, the love of the Father's not in you. You can't have both. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. So if you have any of those things in your life, the love of the Father cannot be in you. You all good?
Yes.
So let's live born again.
Yes.
And when we gather here, I agree with you, Pastor. God's doing something. I haven't been here the last 3-4 weeks, but I was here this weekend. You guys are such sitting ducks. You are so teachable. You're so open wide. You like have honored me. You have opened your heart. I'm like preaching so free, and here's what I feel. Like there ain't none of this, because I don't care. We'll come right at that. But I don't, that's not even there. It's just people going, yeah. I've watched it all week. You guys are amazing. You're in a great place. Let's go with the flow of God. Let's let Holy Spirit do what he's here for. Let's make sure we're participating and we're part of the army. Let's not just be part of City Center. Let's be part of the army, the kingdom. Look, I'm going to speak for them. I'm sure I'm right on this. I don't think they're doing what they're doing and paid the price or sacrificed, whatever it took them to get to this point. I don't think they're doing this just so we have good church services. I think they have a higher vision than that. Like lives changed, lives restored, lives transformed. Yeah? Strong declaration before I close. If we miss becoming love, we'll miss the whole point of the cross. The point of the cross wasn't to take you to heaven someday. The point of the cross, even though we'll go to heaven through the cross, the point of the cross was to transform you back to love, because that's what was lost through sin. So Jesus was made to be sin to get the truth back in our lives. If he loved us this way, ought we not love one another? 1 Timothy 1:5, the goal of our instruction, the purpose of the commandment is love. Yeah, you're doing so good. Just do that for a second. You make it hard on me. Like, you think you might be done preaching, and then this guy's there. And you're like, and then you feel like more preaching. And then you think, okay, I got to be done. And then you hear them keys, and you're like. So it's all his fault. It is really good. That's sweet. Like, that's really good. Whew. I'm going to read this. Let's close the weekend out in this. But who knows, this isn't an event and this isn't the end. We're just going to go in Him. We're not going to grow weary and well-doing. We're going to run together. Don't ever come here, please. I'm talking newbie will do that. Somebody that doesn't know the Lord, somebody that's just going through struggle will tend to do it. The people that they're hearing my voice, they're in here. There's a lot of you. Watch this. Guard your heart. Keep yourself accountable. Don't ever do this. Don't ever come to church to be loved. Come to church because you are loved and you want to love. Don't test the atmosphere. Don't come in to see if it's loving, if somebody notices you or how many people talk to you. People do that. They go to churches and test the atmosphere to see if it's loving. I say it should have been. You were there. See, we were tricked into always what we can get instead of what we can become. So this is going to be a closing prayer. In fact, I'm going to ask you, if you're into what I'm saying and you're convicted by it and you want it to be your life, why don't you just stand up with me as an honor to God and let's pray. And if you're not standing, it's okay. We're not judging you. We're not like, oh my gosh. If you can stand, if you want to stand, stand with me. I'm going to read this. And I'm going to believe this is how we begin to live our life. I don't usually ask this, but if you would just close your eyes and not be distracted by anything and with them precious keys playing, just close your eyes. I'm going to read this. And as you hear these words, I read this the other night, but I'm going to read it again. Just let it be your prayer and let it be your heart. It's out of Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Here we go. You ready? Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. But above all these things, put on love. It's the bond of perfection. And let the word, or let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. And whatever you do, whatever you do, indeed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Father, we stand in your presence. There's this reverence that's on me, this holiness, this tearful thing I feel. What an honor that you would give us your nature. What an honor that you would power us by the person of Holy Spirit to live what's not possible in our flesh. Today we wrap faith around you. Today we say we believe that we can walk in love, and we do want to follow you, Jesus, not just to sing to you, not just to pray to you when we're overwhelmed. To follow you is the greatest honor and will be found as the greatest joy. To love not our own life unto death, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. I bless this house with this revelation, and I pray this house goes down in eternity with the testimony of a house that loved very well. And God, I pray that people come to know you truly because they knew this house. God, I ask you to mark it well and not let one person be lost to lies, deception, or distraction. Holy Spirit, would you come and work in us this truth as we stand desiring to bring glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' name, we pray and say, amen. God bless you. I love you, and I'm glad I was able to come. See you.